I want you to open your Bibles with me today to Genesis chapter 18. Have you noticed that in life today it seems like there is no accountability? Do we like accountability? Do we like to be accountable? Do we like to give an answer to those around us? I'm in Genesis chapter 18. Before I start reading the scriptures, I want to lay a little groundwork here for us today. Because for many of us, we find folks that are willing to come to know Jesus, but they are very stubborn about coming to know the Father. Why is that? But even in the family, everything goes, you know, if Father says something, if the man of the house says something, you know, this goes, this goes, this goes, but this doesn't. How many know that he is the one that is accountable, that, you know, that the sin does not propagate, so to speak? But even in the Bible, we come to know Jesus Christ, and how many know that we are saved, and that his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and that he has called us out of darkness and into his glorious light? But how many know that somewhere along the line there has to be some accountability? By accountability, I mean is the things that come into us and that we know that we are going to answer for those things one day. Amen? Many Christians say, well, you know, I'm saved, so I don't have to answer for those. Well, I'm going to believe God with you that you are saved and that you are going to go on to be with the Lord, and I'm not a judge, so I'm going to believe God with you. But I am here to tell you today that we are accountable for what we know. Amen? Some folks today would say, well, you know, what does accountability do? Why is it that accountability is almost unheard of in our society today? We have folks today that say, well, you know, that addiction is a disease. No, it's the result of you walking contrary to the word and the will of God, brothers and sisters. Some folks would say, oh, but Pastor, don't you know that addiction, you know, where we didn't know that we would get. Come on now. Accountability is that you are going to stand and give a report for the way we walk on this earth. Amen. God even says that of our leadership. You know, we're talking about ministers and people that are standing in places of authority in our life and in those around us. And God comes to them and gives them instruction. We're going to give a report on what we said and what we didn't say. You know, some folks would say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, we are held accountable for what we teach and what we don't teach. Amen. Amen. You're so blessed to have such godly people as leadership in this church. And they know that they are accountable for those things. I'm in the book of Genesis, and I'm going to start in verse 20. And most of you probably know this particular verse and have read it many times. But I want to start out here, and it says, "And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very great, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know." I want us to stop here and look at this just a little bit. The Bible says that there was an outcry. There's an outcry. Is there an outcry in the land today? You know, for some folks, they seem to think it's strange that marriage is an honorable institution. Some folks think that it's strange that you and I would come and sit in church today rather than watch some football game or something else that's going on. Some folks think it's strange that we would get out of bed and get all cleaned up and go to church. We don't, but they do. What we have in this land today, brothers and sisters, is that you and I know that God is going to come down, or is coming down, and looking at Sodom and Gomorrah. We have folks today that rather than choose the goodness and the righteousness that is found in the Word of God, would rather choose to live a life of changing their identity, changing their wives on a steady basis. You know, we live in a land today, brothers and sisters, where Christians, you and I, we as a Christian today, have a mandate before God that we will be held accountable. Some folks would say, what does that mean, that I'm going to go to hell? No. That's not what it's saying at all. It's saying is that God, we will answer to God. Verse 22. Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. How many know that? Do you like that? How many know that it is a wonder to be around people that pray? Abraham stood before the Lord. Grandfathers should stand before the Lord. Fathers should stand before the Lord. Mothers should stand before the Lord. But Abraham stood before the Lord. He knew that something was going to happen. Those of us here in this church today, we know that something is going to happen. Amen? We know. The Bible says that Jesus is coming back. There are many things that it says that are going to happen, and some folks try to figure out timelines and so forth and so on. But here's what I say to all of that is that we have a lot of work to do before Jesus comes back. Amen? And so I'm going to be out here working, and I'm so blessed that you asked me to come today. I want to read on here. Verse 23, and Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? I believe that Abraham all knew that answer before he actually asked it, but he is coming before the Lord. Have you ever thought about that now? I want you to think about that a little bit. Abraham stood before the Lord, and he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was standing before the Lord God Almighty. And he questioned him. Now, how many know that to be a Christian, it takes courage? Abraham knew that he was questioning God. And sometimes, you know, there's a lot of us today. Maybe I shouldn't say a lot of us, but I've ran into a lot of people today that in the world today that seem to think that talking to or with or about God is something that is, doesn't really mean much. Let me tell you something, it means everything to me. I've been in the place where I couldn't take care of myself, God means a lot to me. Let's go on here. Verse 24, suppose that there are 50 righteous within the city. would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous would be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now this is where I want you to be looking at this today. The judge of all the earth, shall he not do that which is right? Now what is right today? Just because we have folks that say that, you know, that you shouldn't say anything about homosexuality or you know, we can go on down the line, they say, well, you shouldn't say anything about that. Does that make it right? I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, the time of us being quiet about such things is over. Amen. It may be unpopular. Some folks seem to think that, you know, that you're just, you know, don't rock the boat. Well, somebody has to rock the boat because, brothers and sisters, people are going to hell. Amen. And I have to tell you this much, brothers and sisters, that I'm going to rock the boat as hard as I can because I do not want my little granddaughter and son, grandsons, to live in a place where they have to put up with all of that. Amen? We need a people that will stand. Going on. Verse 26, he says, then the Lord said, for if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. And we all know how this all goes, so I want to push down just a little bit. Into verse 30, where Abraham says, and he says, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found here. And he says, I will not do it for 30. I will not do it for, you know, and he goes on and on. This shows the righteousness and the love that God has for us, brothers and sisters. But it also shows the finality that comes at the end. We as a people today should not live in fear. Why did Lot want to live out on the plains? Why did he? It's kind of like it is around here. Why do we live out here? So one fellow, he says, well, you guys live, you know, and come out here in the wintertime, and he says, you're out here on the frozen tundra. You know. Why do you live out here? Well, for one thing, it's where God put us. But brothers and sisters, we are responsible for what God has given us. We've been given the truth. We are to be held accountable for that. This church has a great tradition of standing up and preaching the gospel. This people has a tradition and a knowledge of walking in God's grace and mercy and truth and never being ashamed of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, we're not going to go out there and change everything and everyone, but brothers and sisters, we are called to let the earth know that they are accountable before God. Accountability comes. You see, we can do something about it. People can do something about it. We can come to Jesus. We can get under the blood. We can stand before God. We can get out of the sin. It's been provided. Amen. It's been provided. Many times, you know, I and our my wife, my wife mainly, watches our grandson, and, you know, they come over to our place. I was at the grocery store a while ago, and I had some things I was supposed to pick up, and I was looking at them as I was paying for them. None of these things I eat. And I was laughing about that a little bit, you know, and I got home, and my grandchildren wanted something, you know. I guess a good beef roast and potatoes isn't what they are used to or want, you know. They wanted a corn dog. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know. The little ones, they kind of eat what they need to eat. But you know what, brothers and sisters, you and I as Christians today, we need to eat something more than what the world is feeding us. Amen? Amen. I drove a beet truck here a while ago. How many know that driving a beet truck is no fun? Amen? Amen. You go 6 miles down this road. This is at 2 o'clock in the morning. 6 miles down this road, and you take a right, and it's about a mile and a half out there, and you'll see it. And you aren't even really sure there's a road out there, you know. But you see, we go out there, and I'm out there in this darkness, and then when I get there, I'm sitting they're opening up and so forth and so on. So there's some sitting. So I'm talking to God. How many know beet truck radios work really well? Well, so I'm talking to God about this, and we're talking about accountability. And He keeps putting it in my spirit, brothers and sisters, we aren't accountable. We need to teach accountability to folks as Christians. Accountable. The reason folks love Jesus and don't want to get into the presence of the Father is because the Father will hold you accountable. Amen. When I was growing up, you know, when Mama said something, generally we could figure out a way to get around it, but when Dad said something, you were done. You got out and got it done. Amen? Because if you didn't get it done, He would find out why you didn't get it done. Amen? Is there anything wrong with that? No. It teaches responsibility. And I believe, brothers and sisters, today that the God that we serve is teaching us responsibility. Responsibility as Christians is that folks need to understand and know that they are going to be held accountable. Amen. Well, does that mean that me as a Christian and I'm going to go to... How many know that most of us, when we get to heaven, that we are going to have a question or two to answer? We are still bought by the blood. We are still going to go to heaven. But brothers and sisters, we are going to be accountable for what God has told us to share. How we raised our children. What we did. Now, I didn't come here to make, you know, give you a terrible day, but I came here to help you to understand, because the blessings of God does not come upon those that are disobedient. They come upon those that are obedient. Amen. I want God to bless my grandchildren. I want God to bless my children. I want God to bless me. I want God to bless this congregation. I want God to bless the work of this congregation. I want to know the presence and the fullness of God. I want to see Him come in to this house in such a way that no one can leave here without the knowledge that God was here. And you know, He did that today. As we worship the Lord and the presence of God, and brothers and sisters, we have so much to be thankful for, but we also have so much to be accountable for. Amen. We are told to have faith. What is your faith in? Is there faith in something way out here? Our faith is in what God said. That's where our faith is in. Amen. Many times as Christians, we go from one, you know, where we forget how important it is that we adhere to, listen to what the Scriptures say. I hear that you have Teen Challenge coming. And I'm so blessed with the kids. I've never enjoyed anything so much more in my life than to be around Teen Challenge kids. Because you know what? Those kids, it's all or nothing. Amen. I like being around people that are all or nothing. Amen. I was in a meeting one time, and after the meeting was over, they had some kind of games and so forth, and they had an open mic, and you could come up and give your testimony. And those Teen Challenge boys come up there, and this one after the other would testify of things that I never heard of, seen, or was a part of. But every one of them was sold out and just on fire for God. And brothers and sisters, that's what God is calling us to be. You have so much more than this world has. We say, well, they got money and power. Well, we've got God. And He is no slouch, let me tell you. Amen. We have the presence. We have joy unspeakable. Love unfeigned. A time to be in the house. A time to give Him praise and honor and glory. It's just kind of strange to me that as you read the story of Abraham, that Sodom and Gomorrah was out in the plain. That they were in a time when folks didn't care what the Lord said or didn't say, what the church said or didn't say. They didn't care. It's just kind of strange to me that if you went to reading through the Scripture and seeing what the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't want to have anything at all to do with what was decent and holy. They wanted something filthy and dirty. And full of sin. Brothers and sisters, our land is getting that way. They don't want you to pray. They don't want you to stand righteous. They don't want you to speak. I know this as well as I'm standing here, that God is going to deal with it. Amen? But I'm not going to walk in fear of it, because I'm going to get as many people into the kingdom as I possibly can. I'm going to preach the truth, and I'm going to say it when it's popular or when it's not popular. We are going to stand, and we are going to see the greatest revival this world has ever seen. And it's going to come in and be a part of this church, and it's going to be a part of this work. And it's going to be in this house also. Because we are accountable. When God says something, we listen. I want to pray for the Teen Challenge group as they come. And in so doing, I'm going to pray for the congregation. And many times we as folks don't recognize how or what a necessity it is that we pray. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we lift up to you the Teen Challenge folks, and we thank you, Father God, today that as they come, Father, we pray right now, Father, that you will touch and heal and deliver, Father God. I thank you, Father, for changed lives, and I thank you, Father God, right now that the truth will be delivered to them, Father God. And I thank you, Father, for testimonies, and I thank you, Father God, that this will be a time of great growth in these kids, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we speak it out to this congregation today. I pray over them, Father God, that each one, Father, that you would help them to touch their family, their friends, those around them, Father God, that you will help them, Father God, to propagate your gospel on this earth, Father. And I thank you, Father God, for people coming in from the north and the south and the east and the west, Father God, that they would fill this house, Father. I thank you, Father God, this day, Father, that your greatness and your glory would reside upon this people, Father God. And I pray, Father, that you will watch over their families and friends, Father, that no sickness, no disease, no calamity, Father, but goodness and health shall follow each one. And Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share today. And I pray, Father, that it has helped each and every one. And Father, I thank you today for your blessing upon this service. In Jesus' name, amen.